Across the UK, overnights with Paul Ross.
Now, the impact happened about 66 million years ago. It's left a crater 93 miles across, roughly, and 12 miles deep, just off the coast of Mexico. Oh, and by the way, as one of its many after effects, it pretty much wiped out the dinosaurs, along with the end of almost three quarters of the plant and animal species then living on planet Earth. Hold that thought. 75% of life on Earth, bang, gone, because of that impact. It crashed into Earth about 66 million years ago, and I've read about it, and we've spoken about it on this show in the past, but I've never asked, even occurred to me, the important question. What was it? Where did it come from? How did it come to strike planet Earth? Well, it seems we may now be at least one step closer to answering that basic question. Where did this come from, and how did it come to impact on planet Earth? I'm delighted to welcome onto TalkSport and Talk Radio Amir Siraj, who's a scientist studying at Harvard University, who, along with others, has been researching this amazing event in world history. Good morning, Amir. Thank you for doing this for us, for joining us absolutely live. I understand, Amir, that this involves something called a sun grazer comet, is that right? Tell us more about that, if you will, please. Good morning, Amir.
That's right. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me. So, comets on very wide orbits, called long-period comets, originate from an icy shell of debris located very far from the sun, about 10,000 to 100,000 times the distance between the sun and the Earth. And when the orbits of these long-period comets bring them through the inner solar system, the sun heats up their volatile ices and allows them to develop these stunning cometary tails, which help astronomers locate and study them. Scientists then use data collected about comets near Earth in combination with known physics and the measured structure of the solar system to infer how comets behave both far out in time and far out in distance. And almost like a pinball machine, the Jupiter-Sun system shapes the orbits of comets that enter the inner region of the solar system.
So they bounce around almost because of the gravitational pull, like a pinball, as you said, in a pinball machine. So they're heading one way, and they may get knocked off course almost by gravity.
Exactly. And so what we found is that this pinball machine, that is the solar system, pushes a fraction of all cometary orbits into these really elongated ones that bring them extremely close to the sun. And during these passages close to the sun, these large comets can get ripped apart, and, you know, we call it tidal disruption, and these can produce fields of cometary shrapnel, and most of this shrapnel misses the Earth, but what we found is that the chance that any one of them hits the Earth in a given period of time actually exceeds the chance that any other asteroid or comet that was originally, you know, a dinosaur killer size would hit the Earth. And so, in other words, the breakup of these enormous comets by the sun, these sun grazers, as you said, actually results in a higher rate of Chicxulub-sized impactors than the rate provided by any other model.
So would this comet, or would this body in space, have been trying to head back from where it originated, just on the edge of the solar system? Would it have been having a kind of orbit of its own then? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It was on its own journey. It was just trying to head back to the Oort cloud. But on its way in, it got too close to the sun. It blew up into all these smaller pieces. These smaller pieces were still large enough to kill the dinosaurs. And one of these pieces just happened to hit the Earth on the way out. So that's exactly right. These comets sort of live a life of their own. And since they spend most of their time far away from the sun, they're particularly sensitive to gravitational interactions with the sun and the planets, unlike things that are normally closer to us. And the analogy is, you know, almost like, you know, a great musician performing with an orchestra is attuned to musical gestures coming from both the conductor and also the individual section. So these comets pay attention to what the sun is doing, but also what the planets are doing. And so that's why we get this incredible pinball effect, which you know, brings us to the model that we have.
Now, you mentioned this Oort cloud, which is this icy sphere of debris you talked about. I think it's spelled OORT. Can we track comets that are leaving that at present? I mean, is it possible to see them making this journey, or has this been done theoretically, Amir?
Yes, that's a great question. So the situation we have, even with our best technology, is that being near the sun is sort of like being near a lamppost. And the only place we can see is right under the lamppost, right where we are.
Right.
And it's very difficult to look out into the dark street, you know, anywhere further from the sun than, you know, the planets, really. And the Oort cloud is far, far beyond the planets. So as you said, the Oort cloud is actually inferred theoretically from the comets that we see near the Earth. And so we see the comets near the Earth, we understand what orbits they're on, we understand how they're behaving, how they're composed, et cetera. And then from that, we can sort of extrapolate to what must be happening, you know, 100,000 times the distance from the sun than the Earth. And so this is a theoretical, the Oort cloud is theoretical at the moment, but hopefully with, you know, improved telescope technology, we'll be able to observe it directly in the very near future.
And you call these bodies sun grazers. Are there ones that actually, I don't know, sun crushers? They collide with the sun, they're drawn into the sun, they're destroyed by the sun. Does that happen as well?
Yes, that happens as well. And we actually, we're hoping that the next generation of telescopes will be able to allow us to study these comets that crash into the sun. In fact, a few years ago, we got lucky enough to witness a comet crashing into Jupiter.
Wow.
And that's actually how we understand, you know, how fragile comets are, how they break apart, what happens to them when they get gravitationally perturbed. Because, you know, we actually saw it real time. This comet is called Shoemaker-Levy 9. We saw it in real time getting torn apart by Jupiter and crashing onto its surface. So I think this all sort of tells us, you know, how much of a dynamic place the solar system is, and how it can be a scary place sometimes.
And now we've met and spoken, Amir, can I ask a favour? If you get advance warning of any of these gigantic comet sun grazers heading for Earth again, can you give me a call immediately and let me know so I can get out of town?
You'll be the first to know.
Amir, you've been a fantastic guest. Live there, Harvard University student Amir Siraj, talking to me, Paul Ross, and you guys about that event that occurred 66 million years ago, and we are still finding out the science behind it on Talk Sports and Talk.